So very welcome, Magdalena, to the podcast or videocast. Well, who are you?
Thank you very much. Well, I am a servant. That's how I like to call myself. I am originally from Berlin, and I live in Sweden for more than 6 years now. And I have been educated as a psychologist, as well as a yoga teacher. But most of all, in the last 14 years, I studied Tao with a living Tao master. His name is Dr. and Master Zigang Sha. And I have been certified in his lineage and his academy as a certified master teacher and healer.
Yeah.
So these are my qualifications.
Yeah. Yeah. We were connected through a mutual friend, Øyvind, who has been of service to me in my spiritual life. And he's also been very interested in Tao or Tao, and from, I guess, the main book is Tao Te Ching.
Correct.
Would you mind saying something about what is Tao, or what is it to you?
Well, Tao is all universal laws and principles. Tao is the way of life. The teachings of Lao Tzu, who wrote the Tao Te Ching about 400 to 500 before Christ, actually offer guidance for life. Every sutra is contains very high wisdom for every aspect of life. And Tao is in everything. Tao is the source. And everyone and everything has Tao inside of them.
Is it a bit like the Force in Star Wars?
Probably, I guess so. I love that comparison. Yeah, yeah.
Is sometimes it's translated to the Book of the Way, right? Or what does it mean?
Yes, yeah, so the way of all life. It is the way. It is how we as human beings, like as souls, when we come into this embodiment, can live on Earth in alignment with the universal laws and principles, and actually how we can do what is called Hulian, which means translated purification practices, how we can purify our soul, heart, mind, and body to return to the state of the highest enlightenment, and actually to return back to Tao. So it is a way back to the source.
Yeah, I was curious because when I was younger and also later, I listened to it a lot of times. I listened to the book Tao Te Ching, but I don't remember, or maybe I didn't pick it up, the soul speak, or the soul, even the soul song maybe that you mentioned when we spoke yesterday. What does the Tao Te Ching or Lao Tzu say about the soul, and how do you work with that also, I wonder?
Yes, thank you. So first of all, thank you for sharing. I listened to one translation actually in German language of the Tao, like in interpretation. I had it also in my car. I remember driving and listening to it. I always found it very fascinating. There are many different interpretations of the sacred text. And because this wise man who channeled it through his spiritual channels for humanity, he was a very pure and evolved being and soul, and he brought wisdom from higher dimensions to us through this text. And it's not so easy to be understood in any language. People have tried to interpret it, and my teacher, Dr. and Master Zigang Sha, he basically flowed, like received, like a download of information, like a whole book or several books about the Tao and Tao Te Ching, and it's another interpretation. And in the first book, the 72 lines of the Tao Te Ching, they have a list of soul abilities and soul skills that human beings will be embodying in this time on earth. It's called soul light era, where everything is about the soul, where we return back to the consciousness that we are a soul, that everything has a soul. And we also have the special skills within us. And some of the skills mentioned in this text are, like you said, soul language and soul song, as well as soul healing and more. And soul language is one of the, in my view, one of the most fascinating treasures a human body has. It is the language of the soul, and the soul language comes out through our soul language channel, which is in our body, and we are born with the soul language channel. And everybody probably knows when babies are born, they don't speak the human language. They make the special sounds, blah, 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 la, la, la. So this is actually soul language. And after a while, the baby is taught the human language in whatever country, whatever nationality, and it forgets about the soul language. But the soul language is within us because the souls all communicate through soul language. And not only the souls of human beings communicate through soul language, also animals, plants, basically the whole universe speaks soul language. So it is within us, and there are certain ways to bring it out. And I'm not sure if you have heard the statement of Tesla. He was once asked, I read an original interview with Tesla, who I really like a lot, and he was asked, how does he get his inspiration and where does it all come from? And he said, I communicate with the universe through sound.
Okay. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a. I probably saved it in link back then. But if you Google, you probably will find it. So he expressed that he did meditation and he was receiving his inspirations through sound. So I believe this is basically the same, and we all can do it. We all carry it within us. It's just a few steps to bring it out, and it's fascinating.
I think. I was wondering, because I've spoken a lot about intuition on the channel, so that's been something to get information or get guidance from somewhere else than your maybe rational mind or your ego or whatever you want to call it. And sometimes that could be some people speak about the higher mind or God or soul, maybe. I just was wondering what do you think about intuition related to soul?
I definitely believe that intuition is a way how the soul communicates with us. So intuition is when our soul language channel and soul song is not open yet, our soul wants to communicate with us. So, and the soul tries it in ways we understand, like feelings or a certain state of awareness. This is something that we have since our childhood. So many people are connected to the intuition. Not all. Some people are really very rational. But I believe that the soul tries to speak to us all the time, because the soul has a certain purpose and a life task. So the soul comes here and has an agenda. And it really does. And in different traditions, it's described differently. In the Vedic science, it's called dharma. So the soul has really a purpose. Generally speaking, we say the purpose of life is to serve. The purpose of life is to make others happier and healthier. But everyone has their individual way, how they are supposed to serve in this embodiment. So here is the soul and wants to do things. And then there is the mind. And which also includes the ego. The ego is an aspect of the mind. It is not the mind, but it's an aspect of the mind. And there's very often a conflict between what the soul really wants and what the mind thinks what the soul wants, or what the mind wants to do, because the mind is programmed by the upbringing, the cultural context, experiences we make in life, and we could make some very painful experiences, and the mind could be upset and not wanting to do certain things, but the soul will always try to push through, and the soul will always try to find a way to guide us to stay on our way, to stay on our path, to accomplish our tasks. So intuition is like the first step, or the first gift human beings have to be able to navigate through life with soul guidance.
And one other thing, or one way of getting in contact with your soul's purpose, or maybe even your intuition, I don't know, is through the Akashic Records, right?
Correct. Yes.
How is that done? Or what is that, and how? Because you are a, through Master Shah, Dr. Master Shah, certified, is that the name for it? Certified, yes. to be able to look in those records. So what are those records, and how?
Yeah, thank you. This is a very good question. So first of all, in our training, I had a very long training to become certified. The Akashic Records is like a library. It's a library in a higher dimension, fourth and fifth dimension. And this, in this library, there are all the books of every soul. So each soul has a book with the recordings of their thoughts, words, and actions throughout all embodiments since creation. So every soul has a book. And actually, each soul has a copy of their own book within the embodiment. So when we incarnate, we bring the records with us. And it's in a certain place in our body, actually, here in our heart area. This area is called Ling Gong, Soul Temple. So this is where we have stored our own records, and theoretically, everybody can access their own records. How we could do it, there are techniques. For me, it started more than 20 years ago through meditation. I was simply meditating, and let's say what I called back then my conversation with the universe, I was always asking heaven or the universe questions about life, or when there was a challenge, or what I should learn. And I would get answers in my meditations. I would just know it. But I would also get answers in different ways. And one day I was meditating, and my Akashic Records opened up, and I could see past lives. I basically saw one significant life. But since that day, I was able to see my own lives whenever I would ask something specific. Sooner or later, when I would meditate, I would see it. I would literally see the images of myself, how I looked, who I was, what I was doing. So this is when it began for me. I had no idea what it was. I had no training back then. I was just a yogi, yoga teacher, meditating. And I started to read books about it, but it was a little bit confusing because there are so many different sharings and opinions, and not all really resonated with me. But I found a spiritual woman, a spiritual mother, who described the Akashic Records the same way how I perceive them. She said that she has a connection to a giant library, and when she walks in there, she sees beautiful books. And this was exactly what I was seeing, but I couldn't access the books. I could only saw my own lifetimes. But then I received this training, and so we are trained to read the records of everyone, basically. We have been authorized to look in the books of other people, other souls, basically, and we do it to help the people to connect with the soul. Like you said, it's another way to deliver wisdom and truth to the human mind, because the soul knows this all. The soul remembers. The soul is fully aware of their lives. The mind isn't. So reading in the Akashic Record is more to bring the human mind, the consciousness, in alignment with the soul. And to help the human mind, for instance, to understand the struggle in life, the repeating patterns, the suffering, the sickness, or That's of course one of the major things why we enter the Akashic Records, is to help them to understand why the souls came on Earth. What is our individual life task and purpose? And this is something I help the people a lot with. Many people ask me why I'm here. What shall I do next? Or shall I continue with this? Because we have intuition and the soul will try to guide us. But sometimes the mind is not really understanding the soul guidance and is not fully aligning. And it can be very helpful to have a reading from the Akashic Records to see what is the next step. And also to understand the karmic traits. So that's why we do it. And it's very beneficial, because I found that after the readings, the people do feel more connected to the soul and more aligned.
Yeah. Who was that, that woman that described it like you were seeing it? Is that like a writer? Like who was that?
Yes, it was Dolores Cannon.
Oh, Dolores Cannon. Yeah, yes. Okay. Yes, I know about her. Yeah. She's still alive, right?
No, she passed away, and her daughter is holding, is spreading her lineage and her teachings, and she has a Facebook page. But this was one of the first persons that helped me to understand the Akashic Records more before I was trained by Dr. and Master Zigang Shah. But I can honestly say the wisdom that Dr. Shah delivers about the records and how he works with it, because Master Shah constantly does Akashic Record readings in every retreat, in every workshop, in every class, basically. So it's for me, it's so natural. It became part of my life. But he was the first person who brought it to me to a very different level, and who gave me the skills to do it.
Yeah. I also thought about what you said about remembering, because that's like in many spiritual traditions, they say everything is about remembering, even the Lion King, remember who you are, Simba. We see it in popular culture, and I just had this memory for myself, because I've been in the Zen lineage a lot, and we do this. I was at a retreat once, and we were celebrating Buddha's death, and we had a sort of a ritual. I had never done it before. I don't even remember what it was called, but we just went around there and did some singing. And all of a sudden, my body just started shaking, and I started crying, and I intuitively knew that my body was remembering. It was remembering having done this before. Or that was my sense. So it's like you said, it's not an intellectual remembering in that sense, at least. But the body, as the famous trauma book says, the body keeps the score in some ways, or at least it can help you remember. The body is intuitive in that way, maybe. I don't know.
It definitely is. So we say in the Tao Academy that we are made of soul, heart, mind, and body. So it's called Shen Qi Jing in the Tao science. What it means is that every organ, every cell, every part of our body has soul information or message, we can say in quantum science. So the soul is within every aspect of us. And the soul, our soul, which is a golden light being, carries memories from all our embodiments. And the soul carries positive information, like you just shared, you remembered you've been doing this, and it can also carry negative information. We, like, from trauma or for loss or a heartbreak or like really severe incidents that happen in our soul journey, the soul stores everything within, and in certain ways and settings, this information can be unlocked. Or what I say is, in that moment, the mind connects with the soul, and the soul and the mind has realizations. So it's like the mind can't remember, because in every embodiment we get a new mind, a new consciousness that needs to learn from the beginning. And this is the dilemma in the soul journey, because every time we have reached a certain level of evolvement and then our soul leaves, we have to come back and start learning again. But our mind can receive the information from the soul. We say the soul is the message and information. The heart is receiver, and the heart transports the message and information to the mind, and the mind is the processor. And I myself had very similar experiences like you when one time in Thailand, this was long time before, 20 years ago about, before I really became a yoga teacher, I just joined a yoga class and I was standing in front of this yoga class and the teacher was saying something and I was just standing in Tadasana, in one of the first yoga poses, just a standing position. And all of a sudden I had flashes of memories where it was the information that I got in that moment was, I am a yoga teacher. And I saw myself teaching yoga in many lifetimes. It was like a very fast movie. I haven't known that before. I haven't seen anything like this before. But my whole body totally responded to this. It was like almost like a shock. And then my whole body remembered. And my body remembered in that way that I could do very advanced poses, and it was like my one of my first classes. So even the yoga teacher came over and said, are you sure this is your first class? And I said, well, in this lifetime. And my body remembered. So it's very powerful. Souls have memories and they can deliver them to us for a certain purpose. And it's also in my healing work, what I do a lot is I help people to understand or release the negative information they still carry, like from a trauma in a past life, an accident or a very violent death or something like this. This can be shocking, and the souls leave then with a shock, and then they come back and still carry the shock. So some sickness and some problems in this life are relieved from other embodiments, and we can only help to work this out when we really have access to the soul realm, when we can see the records, as well as what I do. I'm also trained as a direct soul communicator. So that means I've been certified to speak with souls directly. So they tell me when I ask them, what is the problem? What are you suffering from? Or why are you here? How can I help you? They talk to me and I can speak back to them. And so this is very helpful to help people to heal some past things that they were carrying, maybe many embodiments.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's also been a part of my journey. I was listening a lot to a channeler called Gina Lake. She channels the words of Jesus. And it was a couple of years ago when I was feeling a bit depressed and I was going through, like, you could call it the dark night of the soul or something like that. And for me, it was okay, though, because I felt that this is just a part of my journey. But I remember her saying or channeling the words of Jesus saying that sometimes with depression and other symptoms, it can be a good thing to do past life regressions. And I just intuitively felt a yes to that. And at the same time, I was kind of laughing at myself because it's so out of the ordinary from the conventional way. I mean, you wouldn't tell a person just on average to do past life regressions if you're depressed. You would go to do what you normally do too, at least. But for me, that was really my path to do that, and I did some guided meditations, past life regressions. I don't know how much it helped me, but I enjoyed it.
And were you able to see your past lives or to connect with them? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So that was, yeah, like you, even before that, years before that, in meditation, I had sometimes flickerings, like from a past life, and it was in Egypt. It was every time it was the same thing. I was in the catacombs, and I was murdered. There were blood all over the walls. So I imagine that's why it's so. And every time I've done a past life regression, I've always returned to that same And then it has kind of expanded, and it has become more. And then I've done sort of healing on that. So I've taken myself out of that situation, and I stood up and pushed those people away, and different kinds of. I've done healing on that too. So that might have been helpful for me.
Yes, sure. And you know what is very important is to understand the truth of the soul journey, that on our soul journey we have different experiences and we make different choices, and sometimes we are aligned with the Tao, with the universal principles, with love, kindness, compassion, and sometimes not. And the same is true for our ancestors. So in some embodiments, we have served well and we have accumulated what we call positive information, as well as virtue. We can say virtue, or the Vedic science would say good karma. And in some embodiments, we have accumulated negative information. And then we go through the lessons, because when we have, for instance, killed someone in another lifetime, we could have been a warrior, or we could have been defending ourselves. It doesn't matter, you know, when we have gone through this, according to the universal laws, it will come back at us. So we might experience the same pain and the same struggle. And it's not pleasant. Even, you know, even our souls know that we have to go through this now, like you say, the dark night of the soul. Yes. And sometimes we feel very peaceful because we know we have to go through this. But it can be very, very painful. And when I do the therapy with the people, I help them to understand the connection and how everything is connected in life. And we go really back and see, okay, where did the struggle with this person or with this topic start? And then people see, oh, maybe I haven't done something in alignment with the source, or my ancestors have committed something that was really hurtful. And this is very helpful, because this is when people can find healing. This realization's like, oh, this is something that comes back to me now because of my choices back then. And then they can release, and then they can forgive. And forgiveness is a very big part of our method here, and I know you're very connected with this wisdom also. And it's easier to forgive for many people when they know what happened. And that's also one reason why I haven't opened up the Akashic Records and allowed so many people. It's probably more than 150 that have been trained, for instance, by Dr. Shah in this way, to enter it and to deliver information, because this information can help people to really finally step out of the karmic cycle, to let go of the past, to forgive, as well as to ask for forgiveness and free ourselves. So that's the power behind it. And I'm very happy that you have done these kind of things. And
yeah, it's so funny. I remember, I haven't told you this, but when I, because in the guided meditation that I did, I was supposed to also ask for what is the lesson, or what do I need to learn? And what came to me was exactly break the wheel of karma through forgiveness. It was the only thing I got.
That's very beautiful. So this is the question like that I do. This is the most important question I found. When I do the Akashic Record readings for others and for myself, I always first ask, so what shall the soul, or what does the soul want to learn here? Because the karmic connections are not always literal. You know, we might have done some pain, caused some pain to another soul in another incarnation, and in this lifetime another person, another soul comes to teach us that lesson that we have to learn. And but it's not always like for instance, someone has stolen something in another lifetime and is now has been robbed of their property. Of course the lesson is you should not steal, right? You should not take away someone else something that doesn't belong to you. But there could be also a deeper lesson, like the soul wants to learn actually how to forgive. Like you said, you really learn about forgiveness. I saw in many situations where people were in difficult relationship struggle that actually both souls came into this difficult relationship to learn with one another and from another how to have more compassion and how to embody more unconditional love and, of course, forgiveness. So there are some higher qualities that the souls want to develop on their journey. And yeah, that's why they come together. And it's helpful to understand. It's helpful for the mind to understand, because sometimes the transformation can happen in an instant when people realize what it is about. Very powerful.
We were also speaking about actually doing an actual reading, an actual Akashic Records reading on me, that is.
Yes.
How is that done?
Well, it's very easy. You ask me a question. I connect with what the Akashic Records, the leader of the Akashic Records is a huge saint, is a very special soul, and his name is Yang Wangyi. I connect with him. Then your soul's book, your records will be brought out, and I can look in it, and I can share the information related to your question. It's always good to have a question, because you know, you can imagine this whole journey is vast, and you could have many embodiments, and there could be so many things. So I always like to do it related to the question, and then I can deliver the information to you.
Okay. Yeah, sounds simple enough, but I noticed yesterday and today as well, I had a bit of excitement and maybe anxiousness about it.
Yes, I understand that. And, you know, this is very natural because, well, number one, in Tao teachings, we say everything that we have ever done or thought or spoken is known to the universe. So that basically there are no secrets. And there are no secrets. The truth is out there. And actually our souls know, you know, our souls know things. Even our mind doesn't get it. And I mean, I have been coaching couples for years. The relationship struggle is one of my specialties. So very often, you know, the person says, that doesn't matter, man or woman, says, I knew it that this person was doing this and that. Yeah, because the souls know. So basically there are no secrets. But the Akashic Records, in general speaking, is protected. Not everybody can access everyone's book, because there could be, you know, human minds are not always the purest. There could be a lot of abuse related to this. And some people, could take advantages of that. And that a person is a little bit excited about getting information from the Akashic Records is very natural, because, you know, there could be this kind of records and this kind of records. And it's not always pleasant to hear the information. I mean, I don't know your question yet, but, you know, sometimes people come and ask me something and I have to deliver them very unpleasant information. And very often people have different expectations. They want, of course, to hear, you know, they want to hear, oh, I'm good. I wasn't the bad guy in that scenario. But for the healing and transformation, we have to deliver the truth. I cannot filter this, or I cannot censor this. The information comes out as heaven wants to deliver it. And it's for the healing and for the transformation and for the highest purpose. But people get excited because, you know, who knows what will come out? I don't know what will come out. I don't know you. I have not, you know, sneaked around in your Akashic Records. We don't do that. We would never do this. We would lose the access to the Akashic Records if we would abuse it in that way. So I only answer the question you ask.
Okay.
Well, all right. Are you ready?
Yeah. As ready as I will be. Well, earlier before when I felt into it, and my favorite question in Zen as well is the question, who am I? So we'd like to start with that one.
All right. I will give you a direct message from Yang Wangye, what means that he will be speaking through my spiritual channels. How? Here is Yang Wangye speaking through the spiritual channels of Magdalena. My dear one, this is a very good question. And this is a question that almost every human being thinks about. You are a soul. And in this human embodiment, you are a servant. Everyone is a servant. The purpose of all life is to serve. And you came here to serve in very unique ways, like you are doing now. But there is more that you will explore in the near future when you align more deeper with your true soul task. You are also a soul that has served in past lifetimes in many different ways. And you have spread spiritual wisdom and all kinds of practices and tools in many of your embodiments. Sometimes you have memories about that, and sometimes you feel drawn to the past experiences. But the truth is that in this embodiment, you are going to be uplifted and to spread new wisdom, new practices, and new tools. You are a servant, and this is all you have to know. How? This is my message. How do you feel?
Feel good. No bad bad stuff about me.
No, you know, the souls are very compassionate. For me, I always also sense something, and sometimes I see the images how the people were serving, and I saw like very fast movies of you in different traditions, like wearing a red sari or like a monk suit. Then I saw you like in an orange suit, and then I saw you like being dressed like very poorly, but I saw you with like a scroll, so I knew you were like a teacher or like a wise man. So I saw like very fast images, and I had a lot of heat in my heart. What happens then when we do direct soul communication? But the heat also came from the joy that I could feel from your soul. Your soul is very happy that your mind gets some answers.
Any other questions? Yeah, I was thinking about the soul speaking. Is that different?
Yes, it is different. So when the soul speaks, it's your soul could speak through you. My soul can speak through me. And when we become really a pure channel or really open up, other souls can speak through us, soul language. So right now what we have experienced is direct soul communication, what means Yang Wangye's soul was speaking to you through me, but in the human language we both know. But Yang Wangye could also speak soul language to you. Would you like to experience this?
Yeah.
All right. Definitely. All right.
So this is my soul speaking.
No, right? We can do that. We can do that. I can connect with your soul. Would you prefer to hear your own soul speaking?
Okay. I'm misunderstanding. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Definitely. Your soul. All right. No problem. This is all possible. So just relax, and I'm going to connect with your soul now. But then the language will be the soul language. So you can experience this. Halalu lali lalali lala, hayalu lali lalali lala, ayalu lali lalali lala, lalalu lali lalali lala, ayayo wali lalalu lala, ayayo lali lalalu lala, ayayo ayi ayayo la la ayayo la li la la lu la la.
Wonderful.
How do you feel?
Yeah, it sounded very almost childlike.
Yeah, I know. That's my, you know, everybody has their own. So every soul language sounds different, but it is universal because all souls can understand. But did you do you have an impression what your soul said, what it could have been?
No.
Yeah, so that's the thing. The soul, your soul understood, your soul knows what your soul says. And now there is a need to translate it into the human language. And we do that. So would you like to hear the translation?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So now I will translate. So this is a translation of the soul, a message from your soul. Okay. How? Here is your soul speaking to you, dear Jonas. My message on this day is that I am really very happy and joyful that you have connected with this one called Magdalena in this way, for I am very excited about the tools that I can learn. I would really love to speak through you again, and I would love you to open your spiritual channels even more. I have been speaking soul language in many embodiments, and I've been also one of those who have learned to translate it. It will be something very joyful for you to discover soul language again and to practice it. It will bring a lot of healing to you and empower you to serve in very new ways. I couldn't wait to hear you speaking my soul language through you. I am very excited about these new steps on our journey. How? This is my message. How does it feel to you?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was uplifting and interesting. And I don't remember if I told you this, but these last weeks I've created like a playlist that I call Throat, like for the throat chakra, where I've been practicing singing and dancing, where I feel that my dance basically and song tends to come through more. I don't speak soul language
not yet.
But no.
Would you like to bring it out?
No. in time, sure. Yes, I would.
Another time.
Yeah, maybe not now.
That's okay. That's fine. You know, it happens now very fast for people to bring out a soul language. When I did it back then, 14 years ago, it took me a while of practicing and purifying. But because now more and more people have brought it out and the frequency is rising, it's much faster. And I had just a session with someone last week. He is a musician from America, and he came. I was in the south of Sweden holding what I call the peace field. And I was there for a week in a gallery, and people could come and meet me. And he came to me for a session. And the first thing he said was, I want to learn soul song. I'm like, all right. And he has been joining a concert that I had in this gallery on Saturday evening, where a beautiful singer from Denmark, actually, she came to sing to us a beautiful peace song that she has also created. But this lady has brought out her soul language like a week before. Her soul song. And she performed the soul song on that night for the first time. So this man was sitting in the audience, and he was so blown away that he booked the session and said, I want to learn this. He was a musician. He stand on the stage since he was 5 years old. He was singing his whole life. He studied music. He plays many instruments, and he never heard about soul song. And I'm always so amazed that even in the music school, it's not taught, you know, that this exists. And he wanted to bring it out. It took him like 5 minutes. I was like, and it was so powerful. It almost blew me away. And yeah, so later that week, that following week, he came to my other evenings and I invited him to sing for the people. And he sang it for the first time, like publicly. And he's very amazed. So all I'm saying is it's much faster than you think. And we can do it any times. And I'm not sure if you know, but because we spoke about Jesus, you know, there is this famous a teaching from the mountain. I don't know how it's called in English, Bergpredigt, mountain teaching, where he was on the top of a mountain and people gathered around him. And it said, even in the Bible, just let me see what it says in German. Oh, I don't remember the exact sentence, but he spoke in a different language and all nations could understand him.
Okay.
So I have to go back and find it, you know, because it's in German, it's really written. And so what I received, that he spoke soul language. He spoke soul language and all understood him.
I have to tell you about an experience just because of that, because I was at a Swedish retreat center called Berget, so the mountain. I think it's like the mountain Bergspredikan, like from that which you spoke of, and they have this meditation hall or meditation room or something, and I was sitting there on the last day of the retreat by myself, and they have these paintings or icons, they called, and I hadn't even actually looked at it, because when you do meditation you just look into the ground and walk around. So I was doing that, I was sitting by myself, and I got the impulse, or actually started to feel clear light or white light coming down towards me, and I got up and I started to walking around, and then I stood in front of a picture where I saw that it was Jesus, and I had the intuition to lay down in front of it. And I was hoping no one would enter when I was doing it. So I lay down and I had the words in my head. I'm going to translate them into English now. But I'm laying here on the floor in front of you, my master, sort of in, which is, yeah. And I was lying there for a while. And then I got up and didn't think too much about it. And then I settled, and then I told the Zen teacher the other day about it, and he said, do you know what that painting is? And I said, no, I don't. I know it's a painting of Jesus or something. I didn't really look at it. And he said, it's from the Mountain Sermon, where the light is so strong that the apostles fall down on their knees in front of him. That was really interesting, because I didn't know that, and I didn't have any idea about it. So it was just interesting that you mentioned that sermon.
Well, I'm pretty sure your soul remembered. I'm pretty sure. If you, let me see. I really get it. You have been there. In the real life, in that embodiment. So you have been there when Jesus was around. So your soul has real memories, and your soul knew that this is very special to you.
Yeah. I found it so interesting when things happen that I have no... that I have no way of explaining, basically.
Yes.
Which is someone else has to explain it to me, basically.
Yeah. That is, but this was for me the same when I was in the beginning of on my spiritual journey, I didn't have anyone. I didn't have a teacher back then. I read books and I meditated and I did a lot of yoga. Yet I had my yoga teachers, but they were not so much into the spiritual channels or the experiences we can have while we're meditating. So I was very relieved, actually, when I finally sat in front of a teacher who could give me some answers, because I had a lot of experiences that my mind couldn't understand. It is really the mind that is really struggling. And when I learned also, when I spoke with some people or tried to share what I was experiencing and going through, some people really didn't understand. And some people were like, what are you talking about? And, you know, it's they didn't believe it, you know, and it's something very deep and very personal. But it's something that we can really understand only from a higher perspective, which is from the perspective of the soul. And the mind needs to learn about it.
Yeah. I was also thinking, I mean, we're speaking in English now, but one of the reasons we're talking is because you are in Sweden, though. You are from Poland, but you live in Sweden, and you do. Would you mind telling us a bit more what it is that you do and how you can be reached? Or
okay. So yes, I am born in Poland, but I grew up in Germany, and I have received my education, all my education actually, basically in Germany. And since about 14 years, I'm really only mainly focused on offering spiritual readings, like Akashic Record readings, so people can connect with me and receive personal spiritual readings for any questions in life. And any challenges. Of course, many people come with questions about health, emotional, mental health, but also relationship. And there are also many spiritual people who really want to progress, like they want to learn spiritual skills, develop their channels. So I help those people. I also help people who are building companies or work with projects, because it's very helpful to receive support, information if they are on the right way or how to manifest something. And I really literally help people to create their designs and logo and everything, for instance, because with the spiritual channels, it's a different way of creation. We ask, how should this company be called? And then we get a name, so for instance. And I, of course, work as a healer. So I mainly right now I'm working really remotely. So I offer individual sessions, but also classes, and people can receive healing. And this is not only like healing for certain issues. It's for relationships. It's transformation of finances, or some people really want to heal and release more of the negativity so that they can open up more the spiritual gifts and tasks. So I do remote healing every day, and I also travel and do things like the Peace Field exhibition, and I plan bigger events in Sweden for next year, and where I also like help people to understand the tools that we have on earth right now, like the Tao calligraphies and Tao song and things like that, or Soul Song. So that's what I'm mainly doing right now. And I am in Sweden, but I work worldwide, so I'm mainly really remotely right now.
Yeah. I was thinking about that when you spoke about signs or calligraphy. Maybe we should touch on that. I showed you yesterday, for the people who listen can't see it, and even those who look at it can't really see it, but there's when I was 13, I think I was in seventh grade, I started drawing a sign. I'm not sure how to explain how it looks. It's I'm not like gonna try.
A little bit like an L.
Yeah, it's a bit like an L. Yeah, and when we spoke yesterday, and I didn't think too much about it, but I wrote it everywhere on my textbooks and all the time in school, over and over and over for years, and often in spiritual settings now as an adult, when someone asks me to draw something, I often draw something like that, or almost every all the time. And so I asked you about it, and about what if you knew what it was, and what did you tell me?
Well, I said to you, first of all, that you did soul painting, soul writing. You were guided from your soul to do this. It's nothing that your mind came up with. I can clearly see that this was your soul guiding you. And I believe you did it for healing and for evolvement, because this is actually this character that you have been writing is very similar to the word that we use a lot in the Tao Academy, which is Da, greatest. And you wrote it, what you wrote looks very similar to the calligraphy style we use, which is called Ibitsu, one stroke technique. So the word Da, greatest, is of course a very powerful mantra, you can say, right? When you write greatest all the time, you become the greatest, because that's what we say. We say what you chant, like for mantras, what you chant is what you become. And for calligraphy art, it's what you write, this is what we become. So we only write powerful and moral words. And you were guided to write something that looks very similar to the one of the most powerful words, the greatest. And I believe that you have had through this writing also a deeper connection with your soul as well, with the soul world. It made you feel good, right, when you did it?
Yeah, I think it did.
Yeah, I think that you have memories from past lives when you were writing calligraphy, so that you were guided to do this.
Yeah, I just love the. I watched some movies, like I think it's Hero, it's called, and where they draw calligraphy in the ground, and it's also similar, what I felt at least, to the natural or intuitive movements that I do when I do listen to music or just move. So they are like, it's almost like I'm doing calligraphy in the air.
Yes, that's beautiful. We call it soul movement, which means soul guided movement. And the soul really knows which movements are good for the body to promote the healing and to promote the energy flow, as well as to remove negative information and so on. So, and it really feels like holding a brush sometimes, and like we are doing something on the soul level only. Yeah, I think that you have a lot of skills inside that want to come out. And I believe many people have this, and the mind does not always understand what it is and what we're doing. But yeah, we carry it inside, and it wants to be expressed somehow. The soul wants to express itself.
So I wasn't comfortable enough to practice own language now, but if I want to do, how do I do it? Is there a way to practice own language?
Yeah, there is a way. Actually, I can send you in the meanwhile. Now we have actually a link with an animation with the sacred mantra, which is like just the key, the opener for the channel, because the soul language comes through our a channel. And what needs to happen more is actually that the heart opens more, because the soul speaks through our heart center, which is called in Tao teachings message center. It's called message center. The heart chakra is called message center because this is how the soul communicates. And it's a simple practice that you can try to do. It opens up what is called the central meridian, or the Zhong Mai in our body, or the chakras. It's very powerful. And then there are some keys that you have to follow, and that is that you have to repeat this opening mantra very fast. But the best way to do it is to do it with someone who knows how to do it. I tried it on my own. It didn't really come out. I had too many blockages back then. But when we do it together, like for instance in the special field with the calligraphies around, we can get a lot of support and light, and I believe that your soul language will come out very fast. That's just my feeling, and I'm very happy that you ask about it, because your soul really wants to bring it out. So we can do it anytime. It's very simple. It's an opening. It's nothing, you know. It comes out naturally because it is already inside you. It's nothing that you have to learn. The only thing that you do is you open your heart and let it flow. That's what it is. And, you know, once you have opened it up, it comes out every time you want it. It's absolutely amazing. Yes.
So when the toothpaste is out, you don't put it back in. It's
No, you can just, it's so natural then, and it's absolutely forceless. It just comes out flowing. It's very beautiful. I'm looking forward for you to have this experience soon. Yeah. I'm very sure you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah. And where is that? Is that on your page or where is that?
No, the link is probably somewhere on YouTube. You can find it. It's, you know, it doesn't say that this is the link to bring out your soul language, but this is what all the master teachers apply in our classes. And for instance, in our training, which I also train healers, and I'm offering a training end of September that people can join in person in Uppsala, or they people can join via internet. And this is the first step we do. The first step when people come to become the healer, it's called Dauhens Healer, and I'm delighted to offer a free healing in a second before we end. The first step they do is to bring out the soul language, because it's the key, not only for communication, but also for healing. So it's the foundation of all spiritual channels. So that's the first thing we do. And we actually apply this mantra, which is just like a key to unlock it.
Okay. Well. Okay. So then I can link. Maybe I can get the link for you. For you and your homepage. I can, you know, put in the description, as we say, on YouTube and Spotify. Well, so people can find you if they feels like it. You mentioned what do you say? Dao healing or Dao hands healing?
Exactly. So we are authorized to offer Dao healing hands training, which is the first level of soul healer in the Dao Academy, which is only because it's first level. It's very, very powerful. People receive a transmission into their body of healing powers, which is a permanent transmission, and then they can apply it to offer healing to others as well as for themselves. And it's Dao healing. It really works on the soul level, soul, heart, mind, and body level, but we work with the soul and with the soul realm. And this is called Dao Healing Hands. And yeah, this is what I've been offering, very honored to offer since 2013, I believe. I've been training Dao Healing Hands healers.
And you said that you could do it now too, at the end.
Yes, I would be delighted to offer a healing. So what I would do is I invoke this healing powers, and everybody can make a request, the ones who will be listening or watching, and you, of course. And then the Dao healing flows through me, basically. And that's what we can do to close the session, if you like.
Yeah, that would be great. So everyone listening can do, how do you say, make a request, or what did you say?
Yeah, they can make a wish, like when they have a condition, like a health challenge. I, of course, recommend to choose that. But it can be also to open the heart, or it can be to to bless a relationship. The Dao healing hands can be applied for everything. If there is a current pain or a chronic condition, it doesn't matter. And yeah, then they can just receive. I will do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Shall we do it now?
I'm going to ask for help with my soul language.
This is a very good request. You're very wise. All right. So let us all sit up straight, so that the light, the energy, the high frequency can enter our body and spread everywhere. And let us put our focus in our lower abdomen. And we're going to visualize there a golden light ball. Our lower abdomen is now filled with golden light. And you can just relax and breathe naturally and make a wish. It could be a part of your body, an organ, a system, a health condition, something emotional or mental, or such a request like to open up the heart and bring out the spiritual skills like soul language, that's a perfect request. I will invoke the healing powers, which are Tao hands, and let you all know when the Tao healing hands blessing starts. Tao healing hands blessing for your one request, as it is appropriate and in heaven's will, begins now. It's going to be a silent blessing. One more minute, silent blessing. Continue to visualize light in your lower abdomen and see your request filled with light. And then take a deep breath into lower abdomen and fully exhale from there. And then you can gently open your eyes. If you feel you have to do some moves, it's perfectly fine. Tao healing hands blessing is ending, has ended now. Thank you.
Thank you.
What did you experience?
I felt good energy going through me. At the start, I even felt like what I often experience, like a white light coming down, and then just good energy inside of me.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Yes, it's a very high frequency and vibration, so not all people sense it when they receive this kind of treatment first time. But it works. It's soul light. It works on the soul level, heals the heart, can transform everything that is related to our life. So it's a very powerful treasure. And it is my greatest honor and joy to train new Tao Healing Hands practitioners, because I have really seen over the last 13 years how it really impacts the life of the people who receive the Tao hands and how it changes the lives of those around them. It's just amazing to be part of this, to be able to do this with all together. Yeah, so thank you that I could offer this today so people can experience it. There are probably now 3,000, or I don't really know, 3,000 or 5,000 Tao hands practitioners worldwide in all countries. And yeah, it's a beautiful community of servants.
Yeah, definitely. You are very beautiful. And thank you so much for doing this and speaking to me today. It's been wonderful.
Thank you. I really, really enjoyed our session. And thank you for finding me and opening up to this deeper soul wisdom, and for giving me the opportunity to share and, to bring this to your listeners. I'm very, very honored to be here. Thank you very, very much.
Okay. So thank you for today, and we'll meet again.
I hope so. So bye-bye to all the listeners and viewers.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.